that it can consume. And so that's the sort of overall arc of what's going on, and the Lord of the Rings is just one more victim of this process.
I
Now,
was
what's
really
your
hoping, I was hoping you would read the next sentence after the bit you just read, or would you like to read it?
Yeah, let me look it up.
The author sold the rights to the Lord of the Rings during his lifetime and signed away his right to have a substantial influence over any new adaptation. That one?
Yes, this infuriated me when I read it because it's so disgusting. Like, Tolkien is just a prostitute that you can pay, and then he performs however you want after you give enough
Yeah.
money. No, I don't care what money changed hands, who bought the so-called right. No one has the right to debase and degrade his memory. You simply don't, right? This is just the absolute encapsulation of the modern age where we can just pay you, and then after we pay you, we can just do whatever you want. We bought it. We bought you off. We bought your culture, and now we can just rape it. It's disgusting.
It's absolutely vile. And the funny thing is, I was the other day I watched the movie called The Founder with Michael Keaton. I may do something separate on this, like a little podcast for Substack or something. And I thought it was really interesting because what it does is get into the early days of McDonald's, and then it traces the story from. So originally it was just one restaurant in California with the two brothers, the McDonald's brothers. And then Michael Keaton's like a sort of salesman shyster, and he arrives on the scene, and oh, there's dogs barking outside. I'll have to close the door. And he arrives on the scene, and basically he wants to turn McDonald's into a corporation, and he's much more legal minded, and he doesn't have that sort of love that the two brothers have for the quality of the product or anything like that. And so what you get is early on. Give me a second, all hell's breaking loose out there.
Okay. Well, I'll say I absolutely love that movie. I've seen it multiple times. It's a really great encapsulation of sort of American capitalism gone too far because in some sense you sort of understand the perspective of I forget his name, but the guy you're talking about who expands McDonald's at some level you sort of understand his perspective. And he wants to take this good thing and, make more of it. But then he takes it so far and just absolutely debases the thing. He completely ruins it.
It's interesting because the way the film's set up is that you actually see most of it from his perspective. And in the early days, you see him as this struggling salesman. He's on the road all of the time. It's putting a strain on his marriage. And he's like the clue, his little catchphrase is persistence. So you kind of what they it's cleverly done because you have a bit of empathy for him. You can see his situation, and he doesn't seem like a bad guy. And then you run into the McDonald's brothers, and they get on quite well. But then as time passes, he does more and more shady shenanigans to take more and more power away from the McDonald's brother and into his own hands and into the franchise model. Until in the end, it's just something completely different. And one of the early things, though, in the restaurant itself is that the reason why McDonald's was different was because they would have your burger to you in 30 seconds. That was the hook. And the brothers actually explain. Or another thing they do is like they give away all of their secrets willingly to Michael Keaton just over like a beer and dinner. Do they just tell them all? So what they did was standardize everything. That's where I was leading to this. Everything was standardized. So each of the people working within the restaurant would have a specific task. They literally chalk it on the floor. And let's say like you have to go here and then to there, and each of these phases should be like a few seconds long. So this was in the McDonald's kind of business model before it became franchise. It was kind of like there right at the start, and it was as if what Michael Keaton did was just take that basic kind of raw efficiency and then expand it like literally all across America. And I mean, it gets into the problem they have with quality control and how they got around all of these things. And he also says, like, he wants McDonald's. Like, you've got the and sort of typical small town America. You've got the government building, you've got the church, and he's like, and we need to have McDonald's. McDonald's needs to have that aura in every town. So, and I just thought it was like this telling thing where it was like, what is the church now? Should be McDonald's. And I just thought, I don't know if it was intended to have these sort of reactionary elements to it, but it is there. It's an interesting film like that. So you get this, you know, you get this kind of small business of these two brothers pouring their heart and soul into their work and creating something which works, and then you get to see it turned into a franchise by the corporation and hollowed out and bastardized and turned into something which they hate. And this brings that little tangent, brings us all the way back to Tolkien, because the brothers by the end are just absolutely horrified at what's become of their baby, if you like. So then Michael Keaton turns around and he's like, well, tough shit, you know? In the world of business and in the corporate world, like, the only thing that matters is winning. Like, I don't care that you weren't cut out for this. I don't care that you didn't have grand ideas and plans the way I did, that you country bumpkins were just going to sit there forever, never expanding your business, never reaching the potential of the model. I did all of that, not you, and you deserve, because it ends up where they've just got, at the end of it, they've just still got the original. Oh, no, even they do for a while, but then even that gets taken off them, because McDonald's actually works on buying the land. They own the land that all the restaurants are on or something like that. And so that's like the real power of McDonald's. And it ends up they lose their own original restaurant as well. And it's just this horrible kind of corporate like model of efficiency. And so now Amazon... let's have a look at that again. With all of that being said, let's now take a look at Amazon's treatment of one of the most famous works of fiction in the world. The author sold the rights to the Lord of the Rings during his lifetime and signed away his right to have a substantial influence over any new adaptation. So they've got all of this kind of politically correct shite. But at the end of the day, that line, which is why I think Charlemagne picked up on it, that is just the mind of a corporate demon. You know, there's no morality whatsoever. It's just the bottom line and this kind of legalese. Like, if you don't like it, our lawyers will give you a call tomorrow, you bastard. Just suck it up.
It's worth mentioning, just in this context of McDonald's, what's sort of tragic is, because you mentioned the McDonald's brothers, is that, you know, these are two men who have that entrepreneurial streak. They have, you know, a genuine sense of ingenuity and adaption, and have conceived of a way to, you know, as any person who has a business ought to do, make their business efficient and earn an honest profit and, you know, grow your company and, you know, I suppose partake in the market as anyone should. And that's not a necessarily capitalistic principle. That's just the principle of business, full stop. I mean, if you go back in time far enough, you know, there were businesses in the Roman Empire, there were businesses in medieval Britain. I mean, for so long as mankind has exchanged services for money, there have been businesses one way or another. But what you do see is that this guy comes in, I think he's the term Morgoth, shyster, you know, and then just makes a monster out of an efficient system. He basically gets, McDonald's gets the Model T Ford treatment, and they just sort of production line food. And then all the little people who might have had a role in that family business just become, it's just that the templates get extrapolated to monumental scale, and all the little people and those who conceived of the idea, the McDonald's brothers, get forgotten. And just one thing I wanted to point on, because this sort of contextualizes corporatism in the modern world quite specifically, is that character, or the person that, you know, the Keaton actor plays, his real life equivalent made this post about McDonald's. Because this guy gave a speech at some point, like some business, like students conference in the 70s or 80s, I think. And a student asked this guy that you know, being fundamental in founding McDonald's as a franchise business, you know, why did you start a burger company? And his reply was, actually, no. McDonald's is first and foremost a real estate company. We acquire good assets. It just so happens we acquire those assets by making burgers. It's an interesting distinction, but it plays into your point about it being soulless and all-consuming.
Well, the other thing, too, is I know this is something that's been brought up a lot amongst right-wing circles, but this corporate process not only, you know, takes advantage of and abuses the person who comes up with the IP, it in the case of McDonald's, as with Lord of the Rings, it turns the IP into crap. I mean, now that we have, you know, seed oils and all these substitutes and all the food we eat, the idea of having ersatz food was a war emergency during World War II. Now we have ersatz food as a matter of course because it's cheap and it fits within the corporate structure. So yeah. It's literally destroyed food itself.
Mm-hmm. And it's destroyed the health and well-being of the people as well, all for the sake of satisfying the profit margins of a board and making shareholders happy. They're willing to destroy the well-being and even the to some degree even the socio sort of economic conditions of a nation for that purpose, and that is extremely disgusting when you look at it for what it is.
Yes, and how many people even know that there was once something beautiful behind McDonald's, you know, and how many people are going to know that there was once something beautiful behind whatever the Lord of the Rings is, you know, 20 years from now? That's why we have to actually address these articles and get angry and fight back against what they're 100% doing to our culture. People are going to forget what was behind it.
And that there is actually, sorry, Morgoth, I just want to quickly say that just behind these things, whether it's McDonald's, whether it's Henry Ford, for instance, whether it's Westinghouse, whether it's, you know, the stories of Tolkien, whether it's, you know, some of these other examples, that there's actually sort of like a small dose of heroism or a small dose of a redeemable quality that is the genesis of these things. And then they're absconded and we lose them and then they're turned against us. And you're right, Charlie, to what degree we're able to and that is worth our while, we should fight for them. I 100% agree with that sentiment. Sorry, Morgoth.
Yeah, I was just going to say on the McDonald's thing, there's one just it relates to what we were just reading there, that line, because there's a bit where the Michael Keaton character, one of the problems they have got, I know it sounds like trivial, but then you begin to see the implications of it. And he's, by this time, you know, McDonald's are popping up all over America, and he's having lunch with a couple of the by now executives have arrived on the scene. And they're running the numbers and they're saying, like, we lose like $100 million a year, and like every hour we're losing money. And they're like, do you know why that is? And he's like, what is it? And they're saying the problem is the milkshake, because of course when the original McDonald's brothers, they were using like actual milk. They were like making a proper ice cream of it. And it was quite a heavy, time consuming process. So this woman who's there, like, you know, the rising the corporate ladder, she pulls out like a little sachet, and it's some sort of condensed chemical milk formula. And the idea is that you have a glass here with water and ice in, and then you just pour in that kind of powder and mix it up, and you've got a milkshake now. And then Keaton drinks it and he's saying, this is great, like, and oh yeah, how we're gonna cut, they're gonna save all of this money. And he says, like, but hang on a minute, like, is this legal? Can we get this through the, you know, can we get this through the lawyers and all of this? We're not going to get sued for this, are we? Can it be classified as a milkshake? And she's like, yeah, don't worry about that. We've got it all taken care of, you know? And it's just this, you're okay, you can do it legally. You can kind of shift the bureaucratic language around and get the right lawyers in. But like, is it right? Is it morally right to do that? And there's no consideration for that whatsoever. That's gone. That's long gone. And so you see, bit by bit,
Yeah. And on that point, Morgoth, is that just what Todd was saying before, and actually kind of alluded to it as well, and really we've all touched on one way or another, you know, we can sort of say, oh, McDonald's cooks their stuff in seed oils and that it's bargain basement and that, you know, it's basically trash. What was once wartime sort of almost ration fodder has become marketplace food in order to fulfill, you know, return on investment conditions and profit margins and stuff. You know, it's the same thing there, what you said, like with the regulatory bodies, and this is rife in our society today, is that you can have a body like the FDA in America, right, where, oh, sorry, farmer, you can't sell raw milk because in the 1 in 1 million probability that someone you sell milk to will get salmonella poisoning or E. coli, we can't allow it. But, oh, McDonald's, you can sell chemical sort of half lactose milk slush milkshake to your customers, and that's fine because you guys have the lawyers, you know, we don't want to fight you, so sell that garbage to customers. But sorry, milk farmer in Idaho or Wisconsin, you can't sell your milk to people directly from the cow because that's unsafe. It's just yet another instance, another example of the pure shysterism and the you know, they say equal under the law. It's really just it's absolutely that Animal Farm principle of, you know, they're all equal but some are more equal than others, and there's clearly a two-tiered system that exists, in whether it's in the marketplace or legal frameworks, it doesn't matter. It's just another instance of it demonstrating itself.
I mean, when you go back as well, McDonald's would be a good example, because I would say in the 80s and the 90s and probably in the 2000s, McDonald's ended up becoming a sort of poster child of evil capitalism. There's a few other companies that you could think of, but for the left, McDonald's would be like the evil corporation. And, you know, okay, why not? I mean, I wish we had a left like that today. But you can see, and so today, like, Amazon is another evil corporation. But this takes us back to the whole issue here with Tolkien, because, funny enough, McDonald's doesn't strike me as being the most woke company out there, but I don't know. I don't pay attention to that much. But it, too, will have, like, an ESG rating. But what you can see is that when these companies begin to like sort of wear the mask of left-wing causes, which are kind of secondary to the actual financial ones. So, I mean, Todd was talking about leftists before. Another one would be somebody like Theodore Adorno, who would recognize the culture industry and how capitalism perpetuates it and all of this. So you end up kind of trapped in this maze, where the capitalism is also producing your culture, which you use to identify yourself and all of this. And so what we see now is where the corporation, this is one of the reasons why we have woke capitalism, because the left got cooked, basically. Because if the criticism of, say, McDonald's is that it is this evil corporation which is just standardizing everything and turning everybody into cattle by serving them up this mass-produced slop, that the kind of criticisms which could come out of the left there are on the old grounds, that would be quite wounding for a company. They may not like that very much. So, you know, let's slap a rainbow flag on the milkshakes and talk about trans rights and diversity, and it gets the lefties off our back. And it absolutely worked to a T. And this article here is a justification for the corporatization of Lord of the Rings, despite the fact that it runs against absolutely everything what the Lord of the Rings and Tolkien stood for.
I was going to say, in virtue of this critique of the sort of predatory nature of capitalism and industrialization, that's of course a centerpiece to the Lord of the Rings itself. So Treebeard says about Saruman, he has a mind of metal and wheels and does not care for growing things except as far as they serve him for the moment. So a good example of this, of taking something beautiful and natural and then consuming it and then leaving only a blasted husk, is Isengard itself. Isengard is inhabited by Saruman the wizard, who has secretly, unbeknownst to almost everybody else, become evil and sided with Sauron. But there's full of trees and it's very beautiful, and you know, and then as the movie does it quite well, the Peter Jackson films, but throughout the book you'll see this too, as he cuts down the trees, which ultimately is the precondition for getting the Ents involved. It becomes more and more ugly, and it becomes more and more desolate. And by the time, you know, you get to the end of Saruman's career, when he's trapped in his Orthanc, the tower, Treebeard says something to the effect that, you know, after they broke the dam and flooded the region, the filth of Saruman is almost washed out. So basically, Saruman just took all of this beautiful stuff, destroyed it, built a army of conquest, which was destroyed at Helm's Deep, and then left all this filth and poison. And then when you see Frodo and Sam going into Mordor, you know, Tolkien uses terms like, you know, vomit and, you know, scum and filth, and all of this stuff is the process of Sauron consuming the world around him to become this bloated monstrosity, first war machine to conquer the free world. And it's like, this is what we see right now with modern capitalism.
Yeah, the Uruk-hai and Saruman's army, and it is great, it is well depicted by Peter Jackson as well. The Uruk-hai are a standardized product, and they wear standardized armor, which is all just lowest common denominator, purely through efficiency. Whereas if you have a look, and to be fair, the kind of the movie critic YouTuber were talking about this as well, where if you have a look at the things that the men wear, you think of the Rohirrim, is it?
Rohirrim.
The Rohirrim riders, or the elves, or even the hobbits. Everything they wear is like beautifully crafted with the hand, and it's specific to their part of the world and their culture and all of this. And so the bad guys, the Uruk-hai, is the opposite. So you get where you've got two brothers who open up with like a diner and make it really efficient and it's new, and then that eventually gets turned into just a standardized product which can reproduce itself everywhere. It's the same thing. It's the exact same principle at play here.